Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning, Mr. Potts.
Good morning.
How are we today?
I'm good, actually. It was pretty miserable weather weekend-wise, but it was okay. Went to the Indian restaurant on a Friday night, unceremoniously kicked out at 10 to 10. I mean, with the curfew coming into place, the bills in front of you, just as I was finding my stride with the Pinot Noir, but, you know, we all have to do our bit during this time of uncertainty.
Well, surely 10 to 10 is a civilised time of day to be ending dinner, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. There was sort of, I mean, I'm not normally out these days at all, but let alone at that time. But I did get the impression the younger folk were sort of out on the street deciding what to do next as opposed to going home. So one suspects it may not have the desired effect the government's been hoping for.
Well, apparently there were queues forming outside off-licences after the pub closed, because I don't know that they haven't introduced the same closing time for the off-licences, have they?
There's a little bit of a discrepancy there. I understand there was a huge party sort of in Trafalgar Square as people rolled out of London pubs and into the local Sainsbury's to top up and keep the party going. So I think as we find our way through this, as we have been, there will be some changes and some refinements of the rules.
Another U-turn, you mean?
Potentially.
OK, Mark, it's not a great week last week, but Wall Street was up on Friday.
Yeah, shares rose on Friday. However, the S&P 500 has notched up a fourth straight weekly decline as the sell-off that started in the overheated tech sector has spread to cyclical stocks. Particularly the miners and the banks whose fortunes are linked to the performance of the economy have been under pressure. Why the weakness? Well, I guess against a backdrop of elevated valuations, investors have left very little room for disappointment. However, we've been talking about virus numbers have been surging, new restrictions are being imposed. US presidential election still too close to call, but there is that real risk of a contested election, perhaps the worst case scenario for many investors, and few signs that the political impasse over the next US stimulus package will be resolved anytime soon, particularly as Congress turns its attention to filling the Supreme Court vacancy. With the rise in COVID-19 cases, we have seen money flow back into the so-called stay-at-home trades at the end of last week. Zoom shares jumped, Peloton, Amazon both rallied. In terms of weekly performance, S&P 500 was down 0.6%. Not too bad, but if you look for September, it was down 5.8%, now 8% below the high that we saw on the 2nd of September. European equities deep in the red as well, in fact, posting their worst weekly decline since mid-June. Stock 600 was off 3.6% last week. The Stock 600 Bank Index fell for a seventh straight day on Friday, in fact, closing its lowest level since its creation in 1991. Good news is we are looking at bounce on the European bourses this morning. Look at the opening calls. We've got the FTSE up 64 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 165 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 61 points.
Yes, and that bombshell news dropping from the New York Times overnight as well about President Trump's tax returns or lack of them, but he says he hasn't done anything wrong. But that may well give Joe Biden some ammunition in that first presidential debate tomorrow night.
Well, we'll have to wait to see, of course, how it all plays out. And no doubt it's going to be somewhat of a volatile election season. So I think investors are getting ready for that. They're bracing themselves for that. Diversification, hedging, incredibly important against that backdrop.
Yeah, well, normally the markets don't really bat an eyelid when there's an election because it's usually a fairly smooth transition between Democrats and Republicans. But this is a really big one and markets don't like uncertainty. So do you think the presidential election could result in some volatility on the markets over the next few weeks?
Inevitably so, depending, of course, where the polls tell us and the movements that we see taking place in terms of some of those key swing states. And that's the really important element to watch out for. But the polls have been wrong in the past. People have written off Donald Trump in the past to their peril. So I think we're probably still too early to do that. And there's a lot of posturing that goes on during the course of a campaign. The reality as the votes come in can sometimes be very different. So we will have to watch out how it plays out. As I say, investors are starting to position themselves for that uncertainty around a contested election.
Well, unless it's an absolute landslide for Biden, then it's going to end up in the courts, isn't it?
There is. I'm trying not to be too political.
Well,
I'm just
being objective, really.
Yeah. Well, inevitably, I think there is a risk of that, as we've been talking about. And you see in terms of the way in which the positioning from both parties have been coming through in terms of filing already court orders and talking about mismanagement, and the mailing of ballots, of course, will be an important component of the way in which this year's election is decided. And of course, there is some discussions about how true and fair that process is likely to be.
Talking about uncertainty, a crescendo is going to be reached in the Brexit talks this week. We've heard that before, but, everyone's calling for a deal. Some signs maybe there's a bit of convergence towards an outcome, but it's still very much up in the air.
If you look at markets, perhaps as a way of understanding, do they believe a deal is going to happen? Well, if you look at sterling, it has been marginally weaker over the course of the past couple of weeks, as the risk of a no-deal Brexit has been rising, but certainly not pricing in perhaps the concept that we will indeed fall to that no-deal Brexit scenario playing out. So I think markets still believe that there is a chance of a deal to come through, perhaps believing that's the most likely chance, albeit a very thin trade deal, one that focuses on goods. That one, I suppose, that could be built on over time as well. As you say, has been billed this week as a crucial week for the Brexit negotiations. Been reported the European Union has told the UK negotiators they must accept some of the bloc's key demands over the future relationship in the meeting if they want to make progress before the October deadline. Two sides are meeting for a final round of formal discussions in Brussels, where they'll try to establish a basis for working on the text of a deal. The EU, of course, wants the UK to make commitments in key areas such as state aid, environmental standards and taxation as a condition for moving on to a more intense phase of negotiations, in which a core group will try to thrash out the wording of any agreement. Discussions, as we know so far, produced very little progress on a range of issues, including ensuring companies from both sides can compete on a level playing field, how to resolve any dispute in a binding way, and cooperation on law enforcement. But I think unless both sides make at least some progress in resolving their differences, the risk that Britain leaves the European Union single market, the customs union, at the end of this year without a trade deal will start to rise, and markets will be reacting to that. That outcome, as we know, would spell disruption, additional costs for businesses and consumers, and heap more damage on an economy that's already reeling from the coronavirus.
And what about passporting? Is that still in the game, or is that just out the window now?
Well, passporting is a key element to it, particularly when it comes to the service sector, particularly, of course, when it comes to financial institutions. One suspects that that is one area that they'll struggle to make real progress on before that October deadline. It may come later than that. I suppose we should also remember that many organisations have already put in progress contingency plans or set up new structures that will allow them to continue to service many clients in Europe, despite the fact that passporting may be under pressure. But if you look at the legal services firms, if you look at the accountants, if you look at the banks, clearly that's one area they will be focusing on.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.27 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.16. You're going to get €1.09 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Poston, Barclays.